600, and we're talking about Colin Powell's interview. Wait a minute. Okay, I think I got that now. Colin Powell's interview with Bill O'Reilly last week, where he challenged him on his statements about the Republican Party being racist and things like that, and how it was taken out of context by the news media to mean that the whole party was racist when it's known that it is not. If any party is racist, you need to look at what's in the party platform when it comes to race. That's what you need to know, because the party platforms will explain themselves. But I want to know what you think about it. Local caller, you're on the air.
Okay. Is that me?
Yes, sir. That's you.
Okay. I would not vote for Powell because he's already been in office too long, and because I would not bow to any minority group. I believe in what is good for this country and all Americans.
Okay.
And also, these illegal immigration they are helping to bring down all of our standard of living. And I would like to pick on Obama real fast here, if I could have
time. You got the mic.
Okay. Obama, whose real name is Barry Sotero, isn't...
Soetro. Yeah.
Huh?
Soetro. Go ahead. It's not that important.
Okay. He's impeachable for many reasons.
Okay.
Allowing for open borders to allow the enemies in. We now have 35 al-Qaeda cells in this country, over 10,000 people, individuals. We have Fast and Furious. We have his fake Social Security number, Selective Service number, and his fake birth certificate. On his birth certificate, it says African-American. When that term was not used back when he was born. And some of you at the radio station might be old enough to look at your birth certificate and see what it says on it.
Negro.
Correct. So he should be impeached.
Well,
and then we got Benghazi and General Hamm and an admiral of the Sixth Fleet who was going to disregard the orders to stand down and move to help at Benghazi. Both was immediately relieved of duty. And who could immediately give orders to relieve a general and an admiral of duty? He went to three colleges. No classmates can remember this man. Some think that if Obama is impeached, cities would burn.
I,
on the other hand, believe that the Republicans and the Democrats are so corrupt and blackmailable that they can't move. And I want to know your opinion, Tracy.
Well, I'm not Tracy. I'm Jeff. But but I'll say it like this. On the birth certificate, I think you're going to be absolutely correct. And from what I understand, somebody has taken this as far as the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court has supposedly... I may be wrong because this is a Facebook information thing that I've seen, but the Supreme Court has supposedly agreed to hear it, hear the case. So that's the deal right there.
When are they supposed to hear it?
I don't know when. Like I said, I have to look. I can't get in my internet here today on my personal computer to get some information, but it's been posted several times in different area.
Okay. Attorney Philip J. Byrd of Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
the chairman of the Democratic Party, has sued the Democratic Party and Obama for this. And he tried to get into the Supreme Court, and they said he doesn't have no standing. And
yeah, if he's not qualified to go, it has to be somebody that's qualified to stand before and argue before the court. My father did have that rating as an attorney in this area, and I do remember that to be a fact.
Okay, go to ObamaCrimes.com because there's lawsuits out with Philip J. Byrd as his, and there's a Air Force Captain Hollister who has his. And then there's a Lieutenant Colonel Jerry Lincoln, who is in service at the time now as we speak, and he has his. And then, of course, Canada Free Press, 215 of 09, will tell you about his name being Barry Satoru.
Yeah.
And he was.
No, there's no doubt about his given name and this, that, and other, but whether the name change was legalized or this, that, and the other. But, yeah, that's going to be an issue. Stanley, stop making noise. That's going to be an issue, if they get it in the court. I don't think it's going to make it, but I'm just saying, if they get it there, that would be something to consider.
People ought to also learn about Obama's cousin named Odingo.
In Kenya.
Huh?
Over in Kenya.
Correct. Are you aware of that?
Yes, he ran for office over there in Kenya and lost, but threatened to cause so much civil unrest that if they didn't put him in, somewhere. And so he has a power sharing with the guy that actually won the election agreement. Am I correct?
And right after Odingo lost, he burnt down churches with people in them.
Yes, he did.
This is a type of a people that we are dealing with at in D.C. and every place else now. And I still think that the Republicans and Democrats are so blackmailable that they can't move anymore.
Well, I understand where you're at with that, and certainly, that's something we need to talk about, because I don't think it's them as a whole, but I think it's certain people that possibly or probably are calling some shots that are calling them for other reasons than the betterment of America, and that's on either side, and I don't care about that. Now, I am a registered Republican, there's no doubt about it, and I have been all my voting life. And I, because of principle, I could not register to be a Democrat. My principles would be totally compromised because I don't believe in annihilation of races. I don't believe in eugenics. I don't believe in the liberal philosophies that they support, and they've been taken over because they didn't always support all of these things a certain way.
And I don't believe in having 50 million abortions and then importing 30 million illegals because this government is favoring foreigners over the American people right at this point in time.
Well, I would say that you're correct, and it has to stop. But we'll see what happens because, it's four more years right now.
Not if we can impeach them.
Well, this is true, but the thing is that's not the easiest thing to do, and it's going to have to be very, very stunning and to find out a certain thing that if this man is a certain way. See, you have some people that will go to the greatest length to make sure that he is stays in place because they're getting their way and they're raping this country like you wouldn't believe.
That's correct.
And
tell me one thing. I want the answer to one thing.
Okay.
Do you really believe that if we impeach Obama, that cities would burn?
Yeah, I think you'd have some. I think you'd have some problem. But do I think it would it matter? No.
Well, can't people be explained to that?
No, they wouldn't care about that, and because he's not bad to them. See, you have to understand, Robin Hood was bad to the sheriff of Nottingham. He wasn't bad to the people. And because to them, he was a savior. He took from the rich and gave to the poor.
Just one more thing on that.
Mm-hmm.
See, if people would actually burn their cities down, and if I was in charge, I'd put wire around that city and make them live in the mess. And that's what should be done, because it's not right. We're all Americans. And well, when we realize that we're all in this Titanic together, we better start sticking together.
Well, I agree with you 1,000%, but the thing is we're not together because we've been divided along have and have not lines.
Because of the government. The government has done this to all of us.
Only because of the politics. Excuse me, and I blame the left. That's my own personal. The politics of the left, because they know they can't win on their own principles. They have to win on subterfuge.
I think that 98% of the congressmen, 98% of the senators are nothing more than out-and-out traitorous people.
I hear
but
you, my friend.
They've done this to us with their free trade nonsense. They paid the industry to go overseas and build, manufacture, and it is sickening.
Well, those are, like I said, those are things that we're going to have to discuss, because those things have to do with why we're doing it, because we're trying to buy peace in the world, and it's not working. But I thank you for your call, my friend.
And thank you, too.
Uh-huh. Stanley, start to get it in.
Oh, there's nothing to get in. I wanted to talk to the person.
You didn't tell me that.
And talking.
I wanted to hear what he got to say.
I wanted to go against that person because he was talking and Obama.
Well,
we need to impeach him. If we need to impeach Obama, we definitely need to impeach Bush. So,
no, you didn't.
Yes,
Bush didn't do. Bush did nothing impeachable, my friend.
Torture, which has been proven.
Come on. Don't start the foolishness. There was no torture. Listen to me. When you have our people going overseas and they're tying them to the back of jeeps and pulling them through the streets, and then we pour some water up somebody's nose, and you call that torture? You know what, Stanley? You could go someplace, you know, as far as that concerned. I'm not trying to hear you. And in fact, I'm really upset at this moment for you even saying that. And we're going to go to news right now so that I can calm down. Let me breathe in. Hold on, Michigan man. I see you waiting out there listening. See
I'm
you right back.
WSOM News. 32-year-old Larry Blue of
Michigan. Hello? Michigan.
Hello?
Hello. Who's there?
Yeah, this is, I was, Tracy said she wanted to talk to me. I want to talk to Tracy, too.
Okay. Oh, you're the person who just called in and said that Obama needs to be impeached, right? Sir?
Yes, Tracy?
No, it's not Tracy. It's Stanley here. Are you the person who just called in and said that Obama needs to be impeached?
Needs to be impeached, yes.
If Obama needs to be impeached, what about George Bush? Doesn't George Bush need to be impeached also?
Your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer has...
Sir?
Yes?
Does George Bush need to be impeached also?
Are we on the air?
Yeah, I'm asking.
Hello?
We're on the air. I'm asking you. Does George
I agree with Tracy. And Bush should have been impeached, too.
No, George Bush should have been
impeached. And so should Clinton. And so should Carter for giving away
Obama
the Panama
needs to be
now.
Impeached, but George Bush doesn't need to be impeached, sir?
I can't hear you.
Sir?
Yes?
Can you hear me? Sir?
Yes?
Okay, I'm asking you a question. Does George Bush need to be impeached? Yes or no?
George Bush should have been impeached, too.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And so should have Clinton.
Oh, the Clinton,
and the other Bush.
What about
and
Reagan?
And Carter for giving away the Panama Canal. I can go down to the
also?
Reasons.
Should
you
Reagan,
why
should,
all
have been, Reagan should have been impeached also, sir?
I'm having trouble hearing you.
If he don't be careful, he's going to impeach himself.
What about Reagan, sir? Does Reagan need to be impeached?
I cannot hear you. I don't understand the right reason, but I can't hear you.
Do you hear me now? Michigan, do you hear
me? Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I cannot hear you.
Okay, can you ask the minister if Reagan needs to be impeached also?
Can you hear me, Stan?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Oh, I don't know if the gentleman, I don't know what his name is.
I don't know the name of the gentleman.
Mr. Impeachment, you there? Mr. Impeachment, are you there?
Yeah, yes, I'm trying to hear you, but I can't.
Okay. Well, he probably just had to hold on, Stanley.
Okay, no problem. Hey, Michigan man.
Yeah.
He said that when you torture somebody, it's not really torture.
Who said that, Jeff?
Jeff.
Yeah.
So put somebody in shackle and don't let them get food, or you have... Can you imagine if we didn't have all that picture at Michigan? If we didn't have that picture from the Army, Jeff would have said, it never happened. We never torture people. We never did this. Ever.
Well, I don't know. I think that is a touchy subject. Because I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence.
Hello,
on that.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now. Can you hear us?
Sir? I think I can hear you a little bit. Try me.
Okay. I'm asking you, does Reagan need to be impeached also?
He said, does Reagan need to be impeached?
Hang on. I'll try it one more time here. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. I said I made the point that Bush should have been impeached too. And
there's not much you can do about it, you know, because they're going to say, you're racist. You used that term and you did this, and you said this, and blah, blah, blah. And
what you're saying,
there's no thought about what you think on the other side of things. There's no thought that you're being, you know, silenced, per se, and not able to speak your mind.
Okay.
That's not going to work.
Wait a minute.
That's not going to work for a whole lot of people.
Okay.
Who are you talking
about? You know, so, I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, you know, but because perception is reality to people.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Stanley, you were... Oh, hello, you guys. We're back.
I can hear you now real plain. I could not hear you before.
Okay.
But anyway.
Hold on. Caller, you called back. let's set this up right. Stanley got upset with the caller making, you know, remarks that he made. And so Stanley was just, he was fit to be tied. He wanted to debate this guy. So the guy, our caller called back in, and now Stanley, you can ask him a question or two, and you guys can go back at it. But look, listen now, I am the mediator, so you have to kind of pay attention. And if I start talking in the middle until you hold up, and so we can get a good conversation going. Go ahead, Stanley.
Okay, the point I want to make. Okay, let's go to one point that. President Obama.
You're breaking up again, man. What's wrong with that?
Can
you
hear
me?
Yeah, I know. Neither can I.
You can't hear me?
Now I hear you, but you're breaking up.
Okay, let me call. I'm going to call.
That's good.
Okay.
Oh, you're going to call another line? Yeah, he's going to come. Miss you, man.
Yeah. What's going on, man? Put you through a class, man. Teach you how to work them buttons, man. What
you oh, I'm working the buttons. Good. That is, they got to get some real phones out there, man.
There, Mr. Impeachment. when he was on the break, he ran down a list, and hell, I think he named every president the United States has had need to be impeached. I told him if he don't be careful, he gonna put his own self in the handcuffs too while he impeaching all the presidents.
Well, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. It turns out that President Obama's birth certificate is a forgery. What would you support him being removed?
To be quite honest, man, I can't say what I really feel on the air, but
yeah, you can. Nobody knows. Nobody knows who you are.
I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn.
Hey, we're on secular. I mean, we're on terrestrial radio. Don't get us thrown off.
Damn.
You know, yeah. Well, yeah. That's bad enough, man. Keep it clean.
Okay.
We got a family show here.
No, I really don't care.
I hear you.
I guess according to the law now. I mean, according to the law, though, if it is a forgery, then there should be a process followed. Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna be a law, a nation of laws, then yeah. If it's a forgery, then the process needs to take place to deal with it.
No, that's fair. At least that is fair. Now, Stanley, is that you at the 438 number?
Yes. Can you hear me?
No. Hold on, local caller. Stanley is back. He got a real phone to call back in on, so.
Yeah, I can't hear it.
Hold on. You will. Hold on. Go ahead, Stanley.
Yeah, I agree with Michigan what he's saying. If it's proven that President Obama did a fraud, you should do impeachment and everything for that. But it's not been proven. And I'm sorry, the birther, it's not been proven. Journalists have tried to prove it. Left and right tried to prove it, and it's not been proven. So until it's proven, he is still the president of the United States. So let's see this. First of all, as the president of the United States, he's the only president that did something with health care. I want to ask the person who's the other caller, how would he resolve the problem that we have with health care with people that don't have health care? Or also, how would he resolve the problem with health care of people who do have health care but do own the bill of $250,000, $150,000, whatever bill they have, a huge, they maybe got the health care, but they get a huge bill that they got to pay and they can't pay? And also the precondition thing. How would you resolve those three things? Can you ask him that?
Okay. Did you hear that, local caller?
No, but I know something. I heard.
Well, listen. The health care thing, he said, how would you resolve the health care problem, especially with pre-existing conditions and people that aren't covered, et cetera, et cetera. Although between you and I, Obama didn't cover that either. But anyway, the only thing he did help you with was the pre-existing conditions and kids staying on your plan till you're about, till they get out of college or whatever. So that was a good move. But go ahead, Doc. Give your answer, what you think.
Well, I think we should go back to what we have. And we used to have Blue Cross and Blue Shield reasonable under our working, with our employers. And that's the way it should have stayed. But the only reason that it did not is because everything is so upside down anymore. We can't afford that. We used to be able to afford our own doctors at one time. In fact, sometimes we gave them a chicken for services rendered. And it should go back so everything's relative so that we can all afford what we need. The only thing that's keeping us from a depression right now is the welfare food stamps, the unemployment, everything that we're given right now that we was not given in the last depression. If we would not have this stuff, we would be in a depression. The wages, the prices would tumble, and we probably could all afford our own stuff again.
And
if we did not, we all helped each other back. We helped each other out during the last depression.
Yeah, but I don't think
it was helping everybody.
That may be, sir, but do you really think that that's going to happen now?
Well, we're going to go into depression because they're going to collapse us completely.
Yeah,
that's the complete design.
I agree with that.
Going back to Bush for a minute, I'd like to take on Bush. In the first place, Bush canceled a trip to Geneva because he was supposed to be guest speaker at Geneva. He canceled because there was a 2,500-page indictment against Bush over at Geneva. And I'd love to either send Bush over to Geneva or get that 2,500-page indictment. And, yes, he needed to be impeached, too.
Well, see, for what? But here's the thing. But for what? You know, because
9/11.
9/11, you think that Bush caused 9/11?
Hang on here for a minute. Northrop was supposed to, so was ordered to stand down. Now, I was in service, okay? So was a, I can never pronounce their names. It's the Tunisian Air Force. You know what I'm talking about or not? The Black Air Force that we had during World War II.
Okay, you're talking about Tuskegee Airmen. Tuskegee Airmen.
Yeah, they were terrific people, just like all Americans back then. But anyway, where was I going with this real fast? Anyway, if you would have flown planes, trying to fly planes into New York City like that happened on that day, you would have had jet aircraft on both wings. There was none. I watched it on TV. But I know that what they can pick up on the radar in the Air Force, what the controller seen that day, they knew that first plane turned. Now, the third plane turned over Cleveland. That means a half an hour, they knew in advance the first plane was coming. We didn't because we couldn't see this stuff.
Well,
the second plane, we're at 2 hours. We're at an hour at least. Now, no jet fighters on that wingtip of that plane. And then we had the Pentagon. It's an impossibility. Then what happened on 9/11? The Twin Towers fell. Both two planes flew into those. But building number 7, 300 yards away from the Twin Towers, fell down exactly the same way 5 hours and 20 minutes later.
Well,
I know that.
Does that mean that Bush was in on it, or does that mean that the terrorist might have set the thing up? Themselves, because it would be pretty easy to get into a building like the World Trade Center and do and set up explosives yourself. That doesn't mean that the government did it.
But you can't. It takes time to put explosives in a building.
Like us, it does. But the thing is you
building number 7, 5 hours and 20 minutes later. I'm telling you. That it's we trained those 18 Saudis down in Florida, Jeb Bush's territory. Where was Bush on that 9/11? He was in Jeb Bush's territory. He was down there at a school. So yes, I'm saying that. And then we had the Clinton that gave us free trade, and he should have been impeached for that.
Oh, okay, you know well.
We had Carter that gave away the Panama Canal.
Well, that's I agree with that. But the thing is that belongs to Panama. We didn't buy it from them, we developed it for them, but we did not buy it and we did not take it in a war.
No,
so,
we built it and we died with malaria.
Well, that doesn't make anything, did it? We did that to enrich ourselves. That has nothing to do with
Chinese controlled now.
Well, that still has
dangerous.
That may be, but that still has nothing to do with impeachable offenses and things like that. I don't agree with.
How does any president have the right to give away any of our property?
That's not your property. You developed it. You did not own it. We did not buy the canal from those people. We went down and developed it.
Well, we sure did die making it, and we sure building it and everything else.
Yeah, we did. Now that's on us. Go ahead, Sal.
When I mean you can say the same thing. I mean, this is unrelated to the United States.
Hold on, local caller, please.
Okay.
But you can say the same thing concerning Hong Kong, because the British leased Hong Kong for 99 years, and when that lease was up, the Chinese chose not to renew the lease. The British gave it back over, gave control of Hong Kong back over to the Chinese.
We're going to go. I want you to finish that, but we're going to go to the top of the hour news. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello.
What's going on, sir?
Oh, not
yes,
too much, man. How you fellas doing?
Can you finish your story? What are you saying that with the London and Hong Kong thing?
The British leased Hong Kong from the Chinese, for they had a 99-year lease on that area, and when the lease came due or came up, then they let it go back to China, you know. And the Panama Canal was similar to that too. So the United States didn't own Panama Canal. We just leased that land from them, and we turned control back over to them. And then the other part to that is, the president does not have sole autonomy in granting and doing stuff like that. He's the one that signs off on it. It's the Senate that must, you know, pass those types of initiatives and treaties. So, you know, even though he's sitting there president, I mean, you're ahead, you're going to get blamed for it anyway. So, you know, that's one of the things that I don't like. And people are a little bit misguided with that because, you know, you're the president and you get blamed for it, but a good portion of that blame needs to go to Congress.
You think that the president of the United States should be impeached, like the president is saying?
For something like that? No. No, I think, in general,
for what he's doing right now, do you think that the President Obama should be impeached?
Well, I don't see what he's done. I don't see where he's done anything to be impeached yet. I haven't seen it.
Okay.
You know, he may try something in the future, but right now, you know, he hasn't passed any legislation that was, you know, binding. I mean, he may have, you know, told some lies, but either way, he's going to have to go through Congress. I mean, and the House may do something to him, but the Senate will never confirm. They're not going to vote for him to impeach him, so, you know, it would be just a formality anyway. So I know that that's not going to happen.
When it comes to the debt that we have, isn't it Congress who's responsible for deciding when the money goes
Actually, Stanley, you're correct in that. However, if the House comes up with a budget and the Senate does not come up with a budget, then you get no budget. You have these continuing resolutions, and that's what we've got. The Senate hasn't passed a budget in over 4 years, and that becomes problematic.
So we can't blame President Obama. So the problem is the Senate then passed the budget. It's not the president that passed the budget.
Well, you can't blame President Obama. However, you can't blame those in the Senate, which the majority of those in the Senate are Democrats.
So
they have control. They have control of the Senate, huh? No, you don't. But see, if you don't have a budget, you can pass continuing resolutions and put whatever you want and spend the money on however you want, and not rein in spending. The problem is when you've got a situation that you've got spending going crazy with no regard of what you got. You know, coming in, you know, at some point you're going to have to cut spending, and that's been something that several individuals in Congress and the president don't seem to want to do. They don't want to bring rein in spending. You know, I mean, that's the thing that I'm saying. You know, we do it in our household. We know that we can't buy that 70-inch platinum TV because we just don't have the money for it. So we go out and borrow it, and by the time, you know, we borrow that money to buy that TV, you know, then we're overextended in our budget. Then we go out and borrow more money, and pretty soon you're to the point to where you're essentially bankrupt. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, I know.
I'm trying to
understand. So the president decides to do a budget, whatever budget he wants. Then he gives it to Congress. Congress does a vote, and then from Congress it goes to the House, right?
Yeah, the president can do his budget, but the House and the Senate do their budget, and there has to be a compromise in there somewhere, you know.
Okay.
So that's what happens. But the House can go ahead and pass the president's budget, and do it that way, without any question.
But let's say the president and the Congress are okay for the budget that he wants. Can the House block him and not allow him to have that budget?
Yeah, the House can as well, and the Senate as well. So either one of those properties can do it. So that's what you run into.
So Why can't we see who? Can we see through the internet who's been blocking stuff that President Obama's been trying, or we can't see that?
Say that again, now, Stanley.
Can we see who's been blocking? Can we see that? Can we
go? Oh yeah, you can go and track every vote that the Congress makes. You can just go to House.gov or Senate.gov and pull up the votes and see who's doing what.
Okay.
Yeah, you can see who's voting for or voting against.
Okay. So what do you see? So what's the number one? I think the number one thing is jobs. I don't think it's the deficit in my eyes. Bringing back the entrepreneur mindset, creating things, because we're not creating anything. That's why we don't have any jobs in my point of view.
Yeah.
We're depending on services like except Apple, Microsoft. When was the last time we had a business that was created by USA?
Well, there's several of them created.
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And we are back once again, Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, Jeff in the air chair. And we're talking about a number of different things, and we've gotten back on an old subject, and because our local caller here had said that he thought that the president should be, taken out, impeached out of impeached, and removed from office because of his forged birth certificate, which in a lot of people's minds, you know, would absolutely be true and be acceptable, but in a lot of people's minds it would be totally unacceptable. And seeing he just won an election, not because necessarily he won a majority of the people, because they believe that about 3 to 5 million people did not vote, which would have been enough to overturn the election. But that's not here. But let me give you two pieces of news. On December 29th, they had out of Hawaii that Alvin Onaka, who is the records keeper, that originally said that things were okay, that people thought they were really okay, said that his birth certificate was not legal. It does not have any legal bearing on anything because it's not a legal document, which means it's somehow not legitimate document for one reason or another. Now, I don't know. That's not the reason why I'd want to impeach him and get him out of there. However, if this is real, I'd go with it. And then the Huffington Post said on the 9th of January that Hawaii was going to reopen, and they set up to the Supreme Court once again to take a look at this because they believe that the certificate is fake. First of all, they used African American on there, and they used Kenya on there for his father's place, which was 2 years before Kenya had become Kenya. And so, I mean, they have reasons. They have their reasons for what they believe. Not saying that they're legitimate. I'm just saying that they have their reasons. So we'll see what happens with this.
Jeff.
Just the Free Republic posted something else. I'm looking at a couple things here. But here we're looking at this, and we're – people are upset about what's going on, and they some people want Obama to continue what he's doing, and some people would be very glad if he just decided to go away. Believe you me, I don't know what shape we'd be in with Vice President Biden, and I'm not going to say the derogatory name they give him. But, you know, I really want to know what you're thinking. Give me a call here at 330-781-9600 or at 1-347-945-5229. And I was just trying to say from that interview I played earlier that I think Colin Powell is going for it in 2016. And if he does, would you vote for him? I don't know. Okay, guys, you are up and live on the show again in the caller queue. What's going on in there?
I'm back again?
Yes, sir, you're back again.
Okay. These presidents, all the living ex-presidents, I should say, have taken us on this path, except Obama's taking us a whole lot faster.
Right.
That's why I would like to see him removed. And then as far as Biden goes, he could be tossed out too for being complicit in all of this, because he is fully aware, because back in 2008, and around October, Obama and Biden walked over to the Supreme Court justices, which is illegal to do when you're under a gun of a lawsuit. And that lawsuit was filed back then before they walked over there. And then, of course, Roberts swore Obama in twice the first time because they had made a mistake. But that's it. You can't walk up to Supreme Court justices when you're under a lawsuit, which was laying over at the Supreme Court justice. I wrote to all of them and asked them to hear the case way back at that time, because Attorney Philip Jerry Byrd out of Pennsylvania asked for everybody to write to get this straightened up.
Okay.
And so we did. So they were aware of it. I have called my congressmen and my senators, so they are aware of it. And I've called a whole lot more than just mine. They all are well aware of it. Supreme Court justices are aware of it. So they should all be impeached, including Biden. And
well,
that's about what. Go ahead.
Well, I don't. I sure would like both of them to go at once, because. But then again, I don't know who follows up on the third.
Boehner would be the next one, and his name is not Boehner. It's Boehner. B-O-E-H-N-E-R, not an A in his name, and that's exactly what he is.
Okay, thank
so,
you.
Thank
wow.
You. Thank you for listening.
All right.
Talking to you.
Okay, appreciate you calling and listening, though, definitely.
Have a good day.
You do the same.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Stanley, I hear you.
Kenya, before it became Kenya, was it Swaziland?
It would have been named a British name, because that's who had control of it.
I want to say it was Swaziland. I'm not sure, but.
But it was I don't think it was Swaziland, but it was a one of the territories of the British government, and so
okay.
It would have had an official. You know, anybody born there would have had an official British. Title and things like that, especially his father, because he was born there years before, and it was not called Kenya. You know, when his father was, you know, where his father was from, it was not Kenya. Okay, at that point.
So why is this all coming back around again?
Because the gentleman from Hawaii admitted on December 29th that the president's birth certificate was not legal.
Whoa.
And so it's been referred to the Supreme Court again. Now, the Supreme Court refused to hear appeals on it last year, three times from what I understand, two or three times. But now, this time, they can't not do it, from what I understand. They have to look at it in light of the information that came forth. Now, I don't know whether it's, you know, true or not. It makes a difference to me. I'm not going to say it doesn't. It makes a big difference to me.
That would be an extreme precedent-setting case, because what you've got is a situation where if he was, I guess the term illegitimate.
Well,
then he would, if he was by virtue of what we're saying, if he was not born here, it nullifies everything, every action that he's done.
Well, I don't know whether
kind of crime would that be, treason? That sounds, wow.
I would say it'd be treason, but who am I? Who am I to speak? Matt, you are on air. Matt, wait a minute. I didn't call you up. I just saw you come in. Hold on. Okay, Matt, you are on the air now.
Here I am. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good.
You know, with this this whole birth certificate thing, it's not going to matter in the end, because the left has this ability, and I've mentioned this before, because they believe that the ends justify the means. They're going to say that they're going to deny that he falsified any records. They're going to say that he is indeed a citizen. And once it's proved that he's not, and once it's proved that he in fact does not have a U.S. citizenry, they're going to say, well, we needed him in there. We needed him to do what he did because the conservatives and the Republicans in this country were about to crash it. And they'll use trashing the Constitution and any value that the Constitution has as the reasoning. They do this again and again. Like, for instance, I'll bring it up again, the Jeep Chrysler going to China thing, and other such events that have come up where they've been caught and they've had to explain their way out of it. The ends will justify the means when this comes around. And really, I don't see it having an effect, or at least any serious attention paid to it by the Supreme Court for another 4 or 5 years.
Well, Matt, can I ask something to Matt? If you're going back to the GM thing, President Obama, when he was doing the election, and said, you're wrong, because he got the letter that the owner of the CEO of GM said to everybody, because everybody was freaking out and saying, this is what's happening, and he said that he was wrong. That's what President Obama said.
Yeah, so but Stanley...
don't blame him for something that the GM, the CEO of GM said, look, that's not happening.
Stanley.
What are you talking about?
We're talking about Chrysler.
I'm talking about Chrysler, that the CEO basically sent a letter to all the people in order, and that's when President Obama did his thing that said, look, even the CEO is saying that's wrong. So you're going to blame the President of the United States for this? Really?
This is why you can't blame. Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I can because he took a story and he ran with it, and he went to demonize.
Hold on, Stanley, let him answer.
He took a story that was false,
yes,
and he used it as a weapon to demonize. Now, when you do that, it doesn't excuse you from doing that if it's wrong. Perhaps a little bit more time and effort should have been put forward to make sure that everything that he said was in fact correct.
You forgot a point. The CEO of the Chrysler wrote the letter. Did you forget that?
No. We didn't forget that. And let me tell you about that. Now, this is where I think you're being a little naive. You don't think that after being in bed with the government, that the CEO could be coerced into writing that letter and lying?
No.
Wait a minute. Let me finish it out. And lying about his stance when right after the frickin' election, he turned around and did just what they said he wasn't going to do? Doesn't that kind of seem fishy to you?
No.
It does to me.
It doesn't to me.
Yeah, I know it doesn't, but I don't know why it doesn't to you, because it's very logical.
It doesn't to me.
Okay. Yeah, Matt. From my understanding, and it was on the news the other day. The whole reason why that issue even came up was because Romney had gave a speech, and they showed it on TV just the other day, where he said, quote, out of his mouth, and GM or whoever, Chrysler is thinking about, he didn't say thinking about, he said,
it's now going to be
all, he said, all operations to
Jeep
China.
Operations.
No, that's not correct.
That is in fact what he said, but he's missing a vital thing.
I just go find it and pull it up and then run it.
Okay.
He said the Jeep maker.
Right.
He said, yeah, they're thinking about moving all operations.
Yes, he did. You're missing a very vital thing. Is before he made that statement, and you're forgetting, I went to a Romney rally here in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Before he made the statement in all of those speeches, he said, before he mentioned that, he said, from a Newsweek article even mentions, he said, Newsweek states that Jeep is going to make all operations in China. He was quoting an article from Newsweek.
I got to go to break, so I'm saying like this. That's not a Mickey Mouse play on words. That was politics at its highest form,
and its
lowest deception, because they deceived the people, because they turned around and did just what he said it was going to happen.
Quit belly
and we'll
aching,
be back
Jeff.
At the end.
Quit belly aching.
Hello.
Quit belly aching. That's chump prime.
Matt
knows that too. Both sides do that.
You're absolutely right.
Okay. So why would we be bellyaching off of over something like
Because what we're saying is that Romney had that information when in fact he said that his exact words, okay? Well, not exact. Let me paraphrase a little bit. It was Jeep is planning to do manufacturing in China, which is kind of a stupid statement as it is, because Jeep is always manufactured in China for the most part, a little bit here and there. But he said Jeep is going to manufacture in China. In fact, a Newsweek article states that Jeep is going to make all manufacturing in China.
That's not the quote, and even that one is borderline. But that's not even the one. I just seen it on the news where he said
all operations is thinking about moving all operations.
Right, but they cut out the
China.
Fact
he
that
didn't
he was
say,
quoting Newsweek.
It's a complete speech.
They started every stop he went to, man. They started mentioning that because they thought that would drum up some votes. They started mentioning that, Matt, at all of their rallies and stuff because they thought it would drum up some votes.
Okay, he didn't say the exact same thing at all stops. Guys, I don't want to be rude. Wait, hold on, Stanley. I don't mean to be rude. My boss just called me. I missed the call. I don't mean to be rude, but I gotta back out of this for a little bit here.
Okay. And you're still right, Michigan. I listened to this, and this is what I don't like. It's when one politician is doing that. Oh, President Obama did what? But they don't even look at themselves. What's good for the goose is good for the goose also for
well,
the guy.
Yeah, that's where the chump belly aching. Both sides do it when they lose. When you lose, you lose. And you need to just, move on. And just like the quote, I'll tell you what, I was behind a car, man, yesterday morning, and it had a bumper sticker, and it said, my business, the government didn't build it, I did. And I just laugh because that's the same thing. How would you like a misquoting of somebody for political purposes, just like they did with Obama? they made a brand out of that and made money off of it, that Obama said you didn't build your own business. Now, that's politics. It was certainly a misquote, and they know it was a misquote. So both sides do that.
And I'm sorry to say, it seems like you said, lock is a lock. Instead of moving on, saying, you know what, we lost the election, let's do something that can learn something out of it. They're still preaching that they think they didn't lose. That's like a sore loser. Telling
that's
you,
exactly
oh,
what it is.
I'm coming back to you and we want a baseball game.
Here's the thing, Stanley. You know, nobody's a sore loser. The issue is, what you've got is, you've got individuals saying the same thing, have been saying the same thing for the past 4 years. And essentially, not much has changed from not, they've not wavered from that, except the only thing that has changed is the policies that he's implemented, and they're talking about his policies.
Are you talking about, first of all, let's go back to history. When President Obama became the president,
listen to what I'm saying. I'm not going past before Obama. What I'm talking about
is...
Tracy.
And we are back once again, afternoon with Tracy and friends here, talking to you about what's on your mind and talking to giving you a little bit of what's on our mind. We're talking about several things, and I played earlier an interview with Colin Powell and Bill O'Reilly. And Bill O'Reilly was questioning Colin Powell on his support of President Obama twice, after being a Republican for many, many years, and then all of a sudden coming up, you know, and sort of like blindsiding the Republicans, and then saying that there's a vein of prejudice or intolerance in the Republican Party. Now, here's the thing that I'll say. In America, it is very easy to find veins of prejudiced people or racist people, and so there's prejudicial people are just that, they're prejudiced, preferring those that look like them over others. Not necessarily hating you, but just as a matter of preference, they probably prefer their own people that look like them. Now, everybody doesn't mind that. I like to be around some of everybody, but I do like to be around black people in certain circumstances, and I don't. And it doesn't matter what kind of crowd in a lot of other circumstances. I get along with everybody, and I'm open like that. But a lot of people are not. But when you have a party that has in their platform the situation of, boom, that we're going to have more abortions because we're going to kill off these people that we don't like, and we're going to keep them under control, and we're going to keep them doing whatever. And all you guys in the queue, if you want to talk, you push that number one, and so you light up yellow, I'll call you up. So then when you have that in your party and you're telling me that it's good that two men and two women be as couples, that that's a good thing, and not to say that those people aren't loving people and they should not be discriminated against or hurt in any way because they think what they think and they feel what they feel. I cannot help that. And I'm not wanting to be prejudiced against them. But when you want to give them rights because of how they like to have sex, that's a huge situation for me. I'm not with that. And I don't dislike anybody, like I said. But as we speak on this stuff, we started getting into a number of things, and we had some people that have challenged once again the president's birth certificate. Now, I do not believe that the Republicans or George Bush and his people manufactured 9/11. I think that's the most asinine thing that you could come up with. Now, if it proves to be true, then I just have to apologize. But I don't believe that. And I think that it's crazy. I don't think that too many of our people would want to subterfuge or sabotage the United States a certain way. I just don't believe it. But 330-781-9600 or 1-347-945-5229. 626, you are in the air and you are hot.
Hello, can you hear me?
626, yes, sir. What's up, community man?
Hey, it's confusing, man. Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I just find it interesting and quite telling that when you have a topic on, you know, let's say race relations or something that a white caller would call in and start talking about impeaching Obama, I think that that's very telling of where white folks' mindset is on the race issue.
But hear me. Do you think it's all just because of race? Because I'm not white, Covino man. I'm not white oriented. I grew up directly in the hood. Okay, none of that applies to me. I would not mind if he got impeached because I think he is destroying things that we cannot exist as a country as.
Let me explain it this way, okay? Here you go. This is the kind of policies that people see and get very upset with, okay? In 2008, George Bush signed into law the Child Soldier Prevention Act, okay?
Right.
It was made a federal crime to recruit or use soldiers under the age of 15, okay? It also gave U.S. authority to prosecute, deport, or deny entry of individuals who knowingly recruit those individuals. Okay. Now Sunday afternoon, the President Obama signed a presidential memorandum saying that I hereby determine that it is in the national interest of the United States to waive the application of prohibition in Section 404, Subsection A of the Child Soldier Prevention Act of 2008. With respect to Libya, South Sudan, and Yemen, and the issuance of licenses for direct commercial sale of U.S. origin defense articles, and I hereby waive such provisions accordingly. So what this has done is done two things. It's saying to them, to those countries, it's okay for you to recruit and use child soldiers. Okay. What it also has done is it authorizes the sale of weapons to Libya, South Sudan, and Yemen. Okay, three countries that have been known to hold and harbor which terrorist organization?
Al Qaeda.
Okay. So you're gonna let them recruit children, and then you're gonna let them arm them. Okay, is that crazy or what?
Go ahead, Covino man.
I just think that's. You might have a policy disagreement that is like a it might it's just to me is unimportant information. It rises to the level of I really do not care.
Wow.
It has that got to do with anything? I really don't.
It has a lot to do with a lot, man. Do you know who's fighting the war over in the Congo?
Yeah, I get right.
It certainly isn't everybody that's older than 15. No. They are capturing the Congo and the Sudan. They are capturing little boys. They are enslaving them and making them fight, okay? This is happening all through the continent of Africa. Now, if you're Afrocentric, that should really piss you off.
South Carolina.
That was Michigan, man.
No, that was Alabama.
So hold on, Alabama. You got to call you up, brother. We're not ready for you.
No, go ahead. Yeah, I'm not upset by that. When I order, doesn't move one bit.
But here's the thing. Now, if that's the case, then when people are hauling about the child labor laws in America, that we say that the Republicans didn't want, which is not true. But it doesn't matter, you know. That, but here in the United States, your son can't drive your tractor on your farm if he's 15. But you're going to sign an executive memorandum that covers several countries where they can go to war and handle weapons of mass destruction and articles like that that we're going to send them. You're going to tell me that doesn't bother you when you can't drive a tractor to keep your family farm going?
Two unrelated things.
They're not unrelated. They're very much the same.
I really don't care about that.
Yeah.
Hold on, 334. I'm going to get you in there.
I'm not talking.
Now, that was Michigan.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying that, me, frankly, those issues are unrelated. What the laws of regulations and stuff that you have in our country is totally unrelated to what is culturally acceptable in another country. It's either you're going to impose your cultural values on another country or you're not.
Thank you for saying that. And then 334 and then Michigan Man after this. Thank you for saying that. Because when Hillary Clinton came out last year about May and made this edict saying, you know what, if you guys don't change and write in women's rights and homosexual rights to your constitutions, then we're going to withhold our foreign aid to you. That was what Hillary Clinton. Okay,
you're right.
Okay, is that not imposing? Wait a minute. You know what? I tell the United States, you know what? If you're going to support me, you're going to support me for all the reasons, but we're not going to go to that one thing like you want to go to. We're not going there. We're going to do our thing because this is our country. So you can put that little thing out there if you want to, but there's going to be hell to pay if you try to make me accept the craziness that you accept.
Absolutely.
Okay. 334.
Well, I find it real interesting that people defend, and, you know, a lot of black people will defend Barack Obama to their grave because he's half black, and yet not really look and be objective, and they'll turn around and say, I don't care about, you know, them giving guns to Libyans who killed black, dark-skinned Africans. I mean, all the news, I have to do a search. They hate us as blacks, and it's kind of really disheartening. I'm not a pan-African like Michigan, but I subscribe to a lot of what they say, and I just kind of disagree that we should say it's not a big deal that you can take a 12-year-old kid, give him an AK-47, and tell him to go shoot men because he doesn't have the self-control. There was a boxer that came on. He had an ESPN special. He was in Uganda. He was talking about how when he was 12 years old, he was going around killing people, and he would tie people up by their genitals to trees, their whole body, and sit there and watch them squirm and die, and he thought it was funny. This is how 12-year-old kids, they don't understand what they're really doing. And you're saying it's okay to do that. Yet he's supposed to be such
heartless.
A good... That's what I'm saying, because it's a kid,
right?
They haven't talked yet. They don't know what they're really doing. And so it kind of bothers me that, you know, we sit up here and say the things we say just because he's black. And I just lose respect for a lot of people that say the stuff they say about Obama just because he's black. And then, if someone's point like, I'm going to impeach him, they don't want to hear the because they impeach, you're racist. You're racist if you're going to impeach him. That's it. That's lazy to me. That's just straight lazy.
What's your name, brother?
Alabama.
Oh, yeah, Alabama, man, don't lose no sleep, man. Most people don't care, so don't lose no sleep on that.
Say what?
Sleep, man. No, most people don't really care about that. You could be right, they don't know, but they don't know because they don't care. Like me, I might know about it, but I don't really care about it. That's not determining anything on my day-by-day existence or anything. I'm not imposing my values on to there. We already know.
So what you're saying is, just like in Hotel Rwanda, when that guy Nick Nolte, the actor, was sitting at the table, he told that guy, "You're not even an N-word. You're African." There's those people going to sit over there, watch it on TV, shake their head, and say, "Man, that's messed up." And then they're going to keep eating that dinner. And that's you. That's what you're saying. That's you right there.
But can I say something?
Yeah, Michigan man, go ahead.
Yeah, the imperialist mind state that America has, really the things that Obama's doing over there is, I mean, really, Jeff, in Alabama and South, you guys really ought to appreciate it, because the moves that he's making over there is nothing more than to maintain some type of dominance on the continent. Now, what America cares about giving little black boys guns, this is, you know, part of the process of maintaining a presence there. So,
oh, my God, you must be out of your mind, Michigan.
Michigan.
You must be out of your mind.
Out of my mind?
What do you think
they're giving them boys those guns for?
Because he's arming the Arab Spring and creating the hugest mishmash in history. He destroyed the balance of power in the Middle East. That's what he's done, and it's going to definitely go to where you're going to have some people getting destroyed, because they're going to attack Israel, and when they do, they're going to get destroyed. Now, whether we take part in it or not.
Who do you think they are arming them to fight?
Each other. They're going to put out. No, I'm not kidding you. I'm telling you exactly what they're doing. They're going to allow those people to shoot it out. They're going to arm the rebels and the people that are the ones that are not friendly to the West. The ones that wait out the situation.
No, Jeff.
They're going to kill Christians. Well, listen to me. They're going to murder Christians. They're going to murder anybody that's not a Muslim, and that's who they're going to kill, because that's who they're killing now.
Wait
a minute. Michigan. No. Don't say no, because if you don't know, you cannot say it.
When the dust settles on those issues over there, the only reason America puts those pistols and guns over there is to protect an interest.
In those things like before, but President Obama is not doing anything that has anything to do with our interest. He's putting his world view in American politics. And policy.
No, listen. This is what you guys, to me, who believe in American imperialism, you all really should love Obama. He's really no different from y'all.
Michigan. I'm struggling with this, man.
He's
because
no
let me ask you
hold
a question,
on,
Michigan.
Hold on, Alabama.
Yeah.
I just want to ask him a question.
What you all just like when Jeff said, when he was stumbling around and saying. Jeff had a hard time trying to explain why he liked black people just a minute ago.
No, I didn't.
Rewind that tape.
I tried to explain to you. Understand something. When I'm not here and I'm doing music, I'm primarily playing to white audiences.
Okay.
When I play with my jazz group, which is not as much, I play to primarily black audiences. So therefore, I made the statement in mind to that, because some situations I love being around my people that look like me. And in some situations I don't mind being around everybody, even though you don't look like me, because I'm fine. That's how I make my livelihood. Don't talk about stuff like I told you where I was raised at.
Okay, so Alabama, and this will be my last statement. From a Pan-Africanist standpoint, and really you said you mentioned Afrocentric, so that's why I'm making the statement. Any Afrocentric who has consciousness, or any Pan-Africanist who has consciousness, they know Obama is not black. He does not have an African worldview. He does not have a black worldview.
No, he has.
Has
a,
So
as
so
a progressive worldview.
So okay, but he was. You said so. They will follow him to the grave. You can't find an Afrocentric that'll follow Barack Obama to the grave or a Pan Africanist because he's black. Because
okay.
he's not.
Well, I hear you, but I'm not saying he has a black. I'm telling you, hold on, Alabama. I got to bring up my other caller. I got about seven more people in the queue waiting. But here's the thing. Listen, Barack Obama is a progressive. He's not black. He's not white. He's not oriented toward either side. He's oriented toward. No, he's not.
That's your problem.
He's oriented. Listen to me.
Okay.
He's oriented toward ideology. He's not oriented toward race of any kind. And that's the issue, because he's going to give you his world view, his progressive world view. He hung out with the people that shaped that in him, and that's what he had. He didn't have a home in Hawaii. He really didn't have that much of a home in Kenya because of how they grow up. But you have to understand, he's a progressive. 773, you're on the air.
Well, I can't talk about the genocide situation that's going on in Africa because I really don't know, the situation that's going on now.
A whole lot of it.
But the genocide situation in the inner city of Chicago and other areas in the States that's going on, it's genocide that's going on in the city, in the United States and in the cities. So it's almost actually a rights issue towards blacks in the inner cities and in the States. So at this point.
Okay. 774-330-774.
Oh, hello. That would be Bill here. I guess getting back to Colin Powell, and at least the spirit of that discussion. Quick little historical notes. How long was President Bush governor before he became president? Do you remember?
6 years? Is that right?
2 years.
Two?
Years. How long was Sarah Palin governor before she was tapped to be vice president?
That was like 2 years, too.
2 years. How long was Senator Obama the junior senator from the fine state of Illinois before he became president?
What, 7-8
two
months?
2 years.
No, okay.
Yeah, well, until he started running, but he actually started running 2 years before he became senator, but that's another story. But officially, 2 years. Now,
but whites can't get mad. This is their system that they set up. So if Obama was able
I'm
to
trying to speak
if,
about a
well,
black man
if Obama was able to beat the system in a quick way and do it in a way that is legal, then he became president. If you want to change the system,
president.
white people
his
have
party
to change
made
their
him
system.
President.
Let me make his point.
I mean, I hear his point, but go ahead, make it, because I want to say something
okay,
to it. Because
finally, real quick, you remember the 2006 Ohio election?
Yeah.
Ken Blackwell and Reverend Strickland. We never seem to remember he was a Methodist.
Methodist minister, right.
And we well, you know, we always say that about other folks, but. You know, he was okay because he was a D. He had a D.
Who thought that all man-boy relationships weren't harmful, by the way? Let's go. Let's leave that one out there, but go ahead.
It's a two-year thing. All these folks had an opportunity to be president or vice president. Because of him being black, the Democrat Party needed to tear him down in the 2000 and 2004 elections so they could ensure that he would not have any power when it came time if he would ever run or achieve a higher office, so he would never be president. The president of the United States right now should be Ken Blackwell, former governor of the state of Ohio.
I would love to see that.
Well, he'll never be because the water has been poisoned. he can't say or do anything because he was the Secretary of State in 2000-2004 elections, and they used Ohio as the excuse for Gore and Kerry losing. But really, it was the other states. We weren't as significant as they wanted to make us out to. But Ken Blackwell was the Secretary of State, and he was black, and he was a Republican,
right.
Therefore needed to be neutered.
And he was, and not only that, I hate to say it, but the infighting in the party helped to get it done. And because he should not have ever had a primary. He waited twice. Now, Ken is a friend of mine, so I'm saying this as having been involved in all of his campaigns. Okay. He waited for Taft because he was going to go when Taft ran, and he was going to challenge Taft, and they asked him not to. He capitulated and did not, and took the Secretary of State's job and ran for that and won it in Ohio, which, by the way, no black Democrat has ever won statewide in Ohio, which should let some of you, the Democrats, know something. Okay. And then they had a primary. He got challenged by the Cleveland area. Why can't I think of his name as well as I know I'm looking at his face. But anyway, he was challenged, and there's no way that he could win the primary because the primary was bloody, and then go into the general election and win against Strickland, who was the weakest governor we've had in years, other than Celeste years ago.
Okay, yeah.
He was terrible, and this is Ohio politics, you guys. But the thing is that was infighting in the party, power struggles. So it's all good, but it should have never happened. He should have been the governor of Ohio.
Oh, yeah,
and
he should have.
And then for the African Americans that did not support him, guess what? Mr. Strickland didn't support black business one iota. Mr. Blackwell.
He didn't have to.
All he had to do was be a Democrat. And this is what ticks me off.
He gets dogmatic, absolute support. Regardless of what he does, says he could literally put on a white robe and hat and hood, stand out on Martin Luther King Day, and they would say, "Oh, isn't that colorful and interesting?"
that's how little you think black people are.
Wait a minute. He's telling you the truth, though, Covina man. Yeah, they are that way, and this is why I say Ken Blackwell's offices all did tons of business with black business. And why is that important? Because that strengthens the black community. It puts dollars into your hands to spend in your community. Okay? It helps you climb up the ladder a little bit because you're getting state contracts that the white companies have enjoyed for centuries. Okay? He made that happen. 50% of his staff was black. 50% of his 40% of his executive staff was minority. And I have to say it was mixed because it was several different minorities, you know, that he had in there, and women. But they didn't pay any attention to that. That didn't mean anything that when he was treasurer, he wouldn't give banks money to loan unless they had blacks in management. I have a good friend that was put in management at that time because of what Ken Blackwell did.
Yeah, Jeff. I'm looking for a black Republican that I can support. As far as I know, Ken Blackwell was cheating in the election.
He didn't cheat in any election.
You know,
that's the lie. I gotta stop you.
That's an evil black man.
Well, he's not an evil black man. And see, this is the thing. You were lied to because Ken Blackwell was required. Listen to me. During that time, when he was Secretary of State, the situation came up that the ballots that they were using were not thick enough. They were making cheap copies of voter registration forms. He told them you have to get the right ones because the post office called the Secretary of State's office and complained, told them it's jamming up our machines. So he required that they use the right things to register people on. And everybody, the left-wing media turned it around and said, yeah, see, he's trying to keep black folks from voting. He ain't trying to keep them from voting. The man was born in poverty in Cincinnati. The man did as much for black people as he possibly could do. And then coming that lie be put to, upon.
Due to his evil, George Bush won Ohio.
No, he's not evil, and that's my friend. I know him well. He's not an evil man whatsoever. You have no idea what you're talking about.
A lot of evil friends, Jeff.
Well, I don't have a lot of evil friends because I can't deal with evil people. Now, I keep away from him. You got the lie of the left-wing lemming media. That is not true what was told. Not true whatsoever. It was an allegation. There was fact.
Okay, then
it went to court. It went to court, and he was absolved. So tell me, how did that happen, Mr. Covina, man?
I don't know why he's not in jail.
No. See now, here's what I'm gonna do. Here's what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna do the name calling out time. This is the calming part of the black community. When you calm like you're doing right now, you clowning on this situation, and you don't know what you're talking about. And you're going to support the lie when I'm telling. It's not a bit. It's not just because he's my friend. It's not just because of that.
You're going to support that evil bastard that should be in jail. Anybody should be arrested for election.
You know what? Well, you know that's that. You know that's the end of that one.
Yeah,
Covina man, that's right. Because you ain't getting back on here today. You ain't gonna lie on this show about Ken Blackwell, who's my friend, and you're gonna tell him that he is wrong when the media lied about the situation with the registration forms, because it was the post office that requested that they be the right size because their machines are set at a certain place, and with the people making copies on regular old copy machines using the wrong gauge paper, it was jamming up the post office machines. That was taken to court, and it was found out to be true. That's what it was. He was absolved from all those things that they required or saying he did. That was a lie, and it was a political theater lie. Don't come on here tomming and clowning with me. I'm not going for it.
That's the dogma of the left. It's one of
that's the lying of the left. It ain't even dogma. It's lying.
It's the central tenet of the faith of liberalism.
No doubt about it.
Republicans are racist and therefore are evil. The R, it's like right here in River City, we got trouble. R sounds like R. R looks like R. Republican racist, easy.
Well,
there's nothing else to do or think.
I know you got Tracy cracking up over here.
You're both black. But see, what happened is because you're Republicans, you're racist.
I'm an evil racist Republican. Because you know what? After that one, I'm going to be more Republican than I ever been before. Now,
so I'm looking to the person that's just
populated.
Stanley, go ahead.
I'm listening to that person who just is Carney. I was going to come back to respond. Both party lies. You're telling me Republicans don't lie also?
No, I'm telling you that
it's not the Republicans. It's actually the media that doesn't report, and we need to really comprehend that. You know, the disingenuousness of our media is what really gets us. It's really the people, they spin things in the direction that they want it to go in, whether it be left or right, whether it be center. And because of the ignorance of Americans today, because we were actually taught as growing up that you would get all of your information from the news. And I don't think we understand. We have been indoctrinated to believe we go to the newspapers, we go to the television at 6 o'clock to actually find the news, and that's no longer true.
We'll be right back.
Hello, Michigan.
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Yeah. Like I said, what's good for the goose is good for the goose.
My thing is that, you know, if Obama made it there in a short period of time, then white folks should change the system. They should have it where you supposed to be in the Senate for at least two terms or three terms to be able to run for president. Change it. If they're not happy that Barack Obama made it there in a short period of time, change your system.
You don't understand. They had a plan. You don't understand. When President Obama won, Republicans had a meeting in a restaurant, and they say, we're going to make everything in our power to make sure this guy has a one-third deal. Whatever he has to go through, we'll make him pay. And it didn't work. So Republicans are feeling the pressure of the people. The people is not following them anymore. Hello?
Yeah, yep. I'm sorry.
You know, so that's one thing you don't understand of Republicans. Well, who said that? I think it was Cantor. We said we're going to make sure he's a one-term president. Was it Cantor?
Well, you know, like I said, everybody knows both sides lie, cheat, steal, you know, to do whatever. So I don't know how you can even get good conversation out of the he said, she said, back and forth about which party lied the most and which one knows the longest. And man.
But Michigan, when people bring a fact and it's a fact and the other one destroys it because he doesn't accept the fact, what do you want to do? What kind of conversation can you have?
No, it's hard to, especially if you're going to deny facts. Yeah, it is.
Exactly. It's hard when they go emotional. Oh, no, it's not true. And then you're going to cover up or protect or do something. How do you want to have a discussion?
Yeah.
You know? Instead of taking I'm not saying just Democrats, both parties, Democrats and Republicans, they have to say, you know what, we were wrong with this. And owning up to you were wrong. Both parties don't
see
do
what the. And see, what you have to be careful of with the Republicans is the examples that they use, which I would say they are correct, the examples that they use to show the docileness of blacks' political intelligence, you know, following behind Democrats because they're, you know, not informed. That's two issues. One is the issue of them being docile, which is an internal issue. And the other issue of Democrats taking advantage of that. See, those are two issues. And what they don't tell you is that Republicans would do the same, just in a different way. So, for instance, to flip over to another party or this and that and think that something different is going to happen, well, that would be docile thinking, too.
Well, I mean, you mention it all the time, and I know this. They both have the same interest groups.
Right. So, I keep telling me. Why can't we see that, man? They have the same interest groups.
So really both of them are really working together.
They are. They don't lose. That's what I keep telling them, man. When they lose, they win. And that's just a matter of fact. It's not conjecture. Just look behind the parties and find the interest groups. And the joke is on Jeff Nim thinking that they playing a poker game where the end result is them, you know, a true seat at the table. The historical joke is on them and the modern day joke is on them.
Yeah, and they're working for free.
Right.
No, there are some of us here that believe in the principles, believe in our principles, and we work towards those principles, and we're not selling out to anybody. And that's
cool.
That is
good.
Ooh, I just, when I hear y'all talk, I just wonder where you get them from. That's all. Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, every man should stand for his principle. When I hear y'all talk, I just wonder where y'all get those principles. I know where you get them from, but, you know.
And your principle could be a different principle for another human being also. Your principle is not general to everybody also. No, because you have that principle.
The thing about it, Stanley, is, you know, you say one thing. You believe in the right for a woman to do whatever she wants to do with her body.
I believe in fairness. I believe in right.
No,
it's just,
no, but here, you say you believe in fairness.
Yeah.
But you don't believe in the safety of life.
No, I believe in fairness. I believe that people have choices. You decide to choose.
But here's the thing. You believe in fairness, but you don't believe in fairness to the point that you would extend that fairness to a child that you created.
No, because that fairness. Wait. Because that fairness doesn't allow to a child that was created by. Because without a parent, that child is not there.
So you're God now.
So, you know, it takes a parent to make a child.
Yeah, right. But you've just made a statement that you're God and you can decide who lives or dies.
No, I'm not saying you decide who lives or dies, but I'm saying to you that it takes a parent, and if that person who...
But Stanley, progressive mindset decides on who lives or who dies, okay?
Can I say something about this progressive thing? Because I see that's the new, you know...
The reason I say progressive is because that's what they call themselves.
Yeah, right. Yeah, when you put the concept of progressivism and the movement and the ideology into a cultural context, it is an ideology that comes out of one system, which is white supremacy. Now, you said, man, you're talking crazy. Go do the damn research and homework. It's still
and doing what she does. So once again, congratulations to Tracy on being named to the Board of Elections here in Mahoning County in Youngstown, Ohio. And that's where we originates, but we are heard on WSOM 600 AM here in Youngstown, Ohio. On WSOM AM 600 on iHeartRadio and on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. We've been doing this for quite a few years, and we've made some little inroads into the community, and we hope that people are listening and getting some different perspectives that you would never get. Michigan Man has some great perspectives. All of our guys, South Carolina, Stanley, I don't agree with your perspectives, but you know what? There's lots of people right here with us that have your perspective as well. And so, you know, it matters, and it matters how we discuss it and talk about it. Alex, Alabama, South Carolina, Matt, all you guys, we appreciate all our callers, our local callers that call in, and we get it together. And here it is, you know, that... we have to have those views. So with that, I'm going to bring my phone queue back up. And chat room, what you guys talking about in there?
Michigan was getting ready to explain to me about progressivism.
Okay.
And how it doesn't work, and how it's just another European ideology. I think that's the direction it's going in. But I'm
going to
speak for him.
I'll
let him go ahead and speak.
What you doing? Throwing seeds down? Well, first of all, I never said it didn't work. I never said that. That never came out of my mouth.
It doesn't.
Yeah, I didn't say that it doesn't work. It does work. What I was saying was when you studied the evolution of it, it's an ideology that comes out of the white supremacist mind state. So what you guys want to do is snatch it out of there from a cultural perspective and sit it outside of white supremacy.
And that's when the joke is on you.
How does that fit into white supremacy?
Go study it, dude.
No, no, I have studied it. I don't see what you're saying.
Huh? When you look at the interests of those who, I forget what president it was, the interest of what progressivism was when it first got started was about the 1800s. Right?
Yes, sir.
18.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What you do, man, you have to look at the interest behind the ideologies, right?
Okay.
And when you do that, that's when you can put it into context. Now, that's one side of it. The other side is the interest groups inside of progressivism are white ethnic groups. Go find me any ethnic group outside of a European that was part of the progressive movement. Go find me one.
Well, you won't find
one.
It.
Huh?
You won't find it.
Okay, now that's the second point. So now what you have to put all of those things in context, man. Okay, let me give you another example. When somebody says racism or ethnicism, okay, if you have a group of whites here in America who are subjugating blacks, and then you have a group of whites who are subjugating blacks in Europe, then you have a group of whites that are – when you add those up, that comes up to racism because you have different white ethnic groups with the same ideology. That's how you get it.
Jeff, go
ahead, Matt.
Here's the only thing I don't understand is because there was no details involved because you didn't explain how it's a white supremacist movement other than it was created by white people. It's like saying that Parker Brothers never created a board game that was for black people. It was only for white because it was created by white people.
Okay,
so
let me ask you this.
Exactly
Let me ask you this, Matt. I want you to answer the question. What is the definition of white supremacy?
You know what? It kind of changes. I'm really not sure what people – I would have to say people who believe that the European whites, or just whites in general, should be king of the castle.
Now what part of that don't you understand if you go and study progressivism in that context, meaning its interests, what moves it made, why it made those moves? It fits into that context.
Because
now, what part of that don't you understand?
Because progressivism doesn't include color. It includes a power of idealism, not color.
Only.
Michigan, I got a question for you. Why is it that we include all white people into white supremacy when most white people are not a part of the progressivism of America or of the world?
You said, why do we?
Because, see, see, this is the problem that I have with it. And you know that I have a problem with it. This is not new. Why is it that we include all white people, no matter who they are, no matter what age they are, no matter where they come from, into white supremacy? And we blame them for all of our woes, and they're all white supremacists, when all they did was get born.
You mixed up about three things, though, right there, though, Tracy. You mixed up three things there.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, when you're talking about cultural hegemony, okay, nobody's ever said that you couldn't find a white who would not be sympathetic to blacks.
I didn't say sympathetic. I meant what I'm saying is this is what gets me. I get mad when they stereotype me as a mad black woman.
I'm going to leave that alone, y'all.
It would behoove everybody to do that. When I get upset for everybody putting me into a cluster and stereotyping me as a mad black woman, I have a problem when they stereotype as all black men are thugs or all black men can't control their sexual appetites. I have a problem when we think that all black men are substandard to all white men. So the question that I have is, why do we put all white people into white supremacy?
White supremacy
is talking about the moderate whites,
which are much dangerous than the Klan, the skinhead, or the white supremacist group.
No. See,
okay, when I say white supremacy,
he comes in with this white supremacist thing, and he calls Ben, who is short from blonde hair and blue eyes, and being a white supremacist, he called him a devil. And so he called somebody who has stuck their neck out for me, given me their time, and done whatever is necessary to help me with what I do. And they called him a devil because he's a white supremacist just because of the hue of his skin. Because
he's white.
But then I get really pissed off when somebody classifies black people by the hue of their skin.
Yeah. Well, I can't speak to that, why he called him a devil.
You got to understand, white supremacist. You know, everybody white is a white supremacist. Now, you said that they're sympathizers. Why can't they just be people that are people?
No, I think all whites are sympathetic to their culture. See, that's what I said. We differ in the defining of those things, which I don't think there's nothing wrong with.
That's not true.
Huh?
And not all white people are sympathetic to their culture. If that were the case, then number one, black people would still be enslaved in this country. And after slavery ended, we would never have had the civil rights that we have today. Okay.
No, South Carolina, you wouldn't see all these little black-haired babies walking around with these white-haired mamas if they were just sympathetic to them.
First off,
civil rights should be called black rights or African-American rights. It should have never been called civil rights because Mexicans can benefit off civil rights.
I agree with that.
Every other race can benefit off of civil rights. It should have been called black or colored or African-American rights. That's what
they
called.
Listen, they couldn't have done that because they couldn't have passed that.
No,
the problem with civil rights is everybody we wrote the law and everybody's playing by the book but us.
Yeah,
we use it as almost like the Bible. We put it on the shelf and dust it off every couple years.
Something tells me I'm going to be sorry for this, but 614.
Oh my goodness. Hi, Diva.
614, you're on the air.
Wait a minute, I had you on mute.
No, you had us on mute. We hit you.
That's what I'm saying. I said I had you on mute.
Oh, my God.
You're going to be fired for it.
I said I might be sorry for this, but go ahead.
Oh, I'm just listening to y'all little conversation.
All right. Well, you can listen.
I am one of those persons that I understand there's white supremacy out there, and it is a part of the elitism.
Right.
And white supremacy is a mindset. It is not a color set. And we keep on lumping everybody into the same bowl of soup, and they don't belong there. And it's not fair to them, and it's not right to us. Because we're losing. Our children are losing, thinking that they got white supremacists out there, and all they got to do is get up, pull their pants up, take a bath, clean up, and go get a job, and quit smoking reefer.
412, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Alex slash Barry White.
But more white kids smoke more reefer than blacks.
Barry Beverly.
I don't know. Barry Beverly.
More white kids smoke reefer than blacks.
Do they really? I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
No, I think they do.
Who do you think turned us on to reefer?
White folks do everything.
Well, yeah.
You know, but I'm going to say.
I do that. Y'all sound so.
They don't sell it on the corner.
Not unless they live in a corner house.
Can I ask you why they don't sell it on the corner and we got to go outside and sell it?
Because they don't have to. That's why.
Bingo.
And that's the problem, that people look at the symptoms of the issue and not the root cause. But what I really called in for was to answer your question about you're talking about all white people kind of get lumped into being white supremacists and all that. You know, I agree with you. You know, we shouldn't do that. But the problem is. You can say what you want, but most white people, they like they want black people to be treated fairly, okay, and you know all that. However, they do not want to relinquish control over black people. And that is what white supremacy is.
But let me ask you this, Alex.
Let me throw this in
because I just want to cross that because I understand where you're coming from. But let's look at power in itself.
And that's the issue.
Let's take out white altogether.
That's
let's
what we're talking
power.
About.
Let's look at power in itself.
Mm-hmm.
When I get power, even in my own little circle, if Jeff comes in and tries to take my power, Jeff is just as black as I am. I'm going to have a problem with my power because I'm going to be mad. And it's not that I want to – I mean, you know, we have a problem with power, whether it be white or black.
But why does why do they assume that they should have authority over us? And
because
that's,
they
and
created
that's
the
problem
system.
The same reason why they
it's
not
their
have
culture.
Authority over them.
It's their culture.
And
but,
so,
but you see – go ahead.
And that's where, that's where the problem comes in because it's just like – things. Things have not changed in the last 100 years. I don't care what you say, you know, because this is the reason why they had an issue with the movement of the NOI, the Nation of Islam, when they're talking about, well, we just want our own land and all this. And it was like, what do you mean you want to get away from us? They got mad at that, you know, but it was like, wait a minute, you're lynching us every day, you don't give us any rights to anything, you know, but you're okay with that, but if we want to go do our own thing, they just vilified and made him look like a demon, all the people associated with the Nation of Islam, because what they wanted was self-determination. And
here's
key, and that's what we see. All it's not just with black people, but it's all around the world. But it affects black people the worst. You know, it's that white hegemony that they promote.
This is the issue. They teach their children that they are white and they are right.
And that's fine. I don't care about that.
Right.
I don't mean that they have control.
They
should have control
children.
Over my children.
They teach their children that they are pretty. They teach their children that they instill an esteem in them. That we, if you actually want to know the truth about it, we need to instill in ours. See, the problem that we have is we don't instill that power of self-esteem in our own people, and we become the victims of victimization. Because, see, again, listen to what
every
I'm
time
saying.
We make
Hold
head
on.
Rolls, we you take us down to
That's
the...
what. And every time we make head rolls, they take us down a primrose path, but the question is all we got to do is stand back up again. And the problem that we're doing now is we are lying down so far that no one wants to stand up because everybody's afraid to get hit.
Now, I was saying every time we make head rolls in the conversation, you take a left turn.
I didn't take a left turn. What I'm saying is when you look at white, if you look at the mindset of the European culture.
Well, that's what happens when Bianchi is not funding her show. Nobody black is funding her show, so she has to take a left turn.
Oh, I forgot about that. I forgot.
But I'm just saying to you, look at what's going on here. I'm serious.
Tracy, when we do our own thing, when we are self-determined, you know what happens? Things happen like Rosewood, like Black Wall Street. That's what happens. And
okay,
so
that was 100 years ago,
what you're talking
Alex.
About is so it's like escapism. You're just it's like you're burying your head in the sand about what the real issue is.
Let me try. And then 518, you're going to be next. 330. Check it out. Rosewood happened, and every situation that happens is for one purpose, is to keep us from being independent.
Exactly.
Okay, so now, when you're talking about that, who's the ones that are keeping you dependent? And if you recognize that, tell me why you're not sitting there doing something about it, and you vote for them every single time.
Oh, okay, now can I stop? Can I jump in there, Jeff?
I agree with you.
This is what you just did. Now, instead of
instead of giving definition to that from a cultural perspective, what you're trying to do is go inside of the culture and pick out one side of the culture,
yes,
and the politics of it and say, aha, this is the reason.
The reason today.
And there's a good reason why I did that,
okay,
my friend.
So what you
because,
have to, what you,
because,
what you have
well,
to,
no, here's
but
the
what
thing.
You have, but what you have to do, what you have to do, is take that correct analysis and add it to the analysis of Rosewood, and add it to the other analysis in order to get the, to not have your head in the sand.
But look
you
at
don't
Rosewood.
Pull out
you
one analysis like politics. And then say, aha, if we only do this different in politics, we're going to get somewhere.
Yeah, listen,
that's goofy.
You
can't do that, though.
You can't do that.
You're looking at a difference of 100 years, man. You're looking at a totally different
black history, man. South Carolina.
No,
okay?
No, you're not.
That history
no, you're not.
Connected.
Well,
you
I agree with South Carolina with that because
you can't connect
thing.
The history, Jeff.
Right now, we're so victimized in our mindset. That we won't even try to make
that history, Jim.
There's
I'll
nothing
like
different
this.
Today than there was 100 years. If you please read what you know, people like Sojourner Truth, Frederick Douglass, W.B. Du Bois wrote about Dr. Carter G. Woodson. We're dealing with the same issues, the same mental warfare. Today,
on
we were 100
the,
years.
The way
Alex,
black folks,
Alex,
the way they victimizing black folks today is through economics. You have 1.9 million black businesses in America. They hire basically themselves, so they're not getting any funding, so they can train and hire other blacks. So that is the racism part in America is the economics towards blacks.
How many of you have ever spent any time in a poor white neighborhood?
Oh boy,
I'm with you.
Because I have spent time. I grew up right next to them. Used to have to fight with them, but we were boys. Okay, used to have to deal with some of the mess that I had to deal with my same neighborhood. But we are all boys. You have the same economic situation going into the white community as a part of their subculture. You have the same mindset. I can walk 2 miles from where I'm at now and see the same exact thing that goes on in the projects or in the neighborhoods
of
poor black people that I see in the white. There's very white guys out there standing
Hold
on. I got to bring other guys in. I got six calls waiting. 330-518, you're on there. Okay, 518, you got to wait then because I got to move along. 440-668, you're in there.
Yeah, this is Chardon.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to tell you something. I've been listening to this radio station for a few days now, and you got it all wrong about white people. If you're going to understand what's happening, you got us. Not only do we have to understand you, you got to understand us.
I mean,
and this is our problem. And what I'm hearing is it's wrong. It's basically
tell, okay,
wrong.
Tell us what's wrong.
Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
We waiting.
Yeah. Well, this is the whole thing. I mean, you're constantly bringing up race. You're looking at the whole group as succeeding. The way most white males and white people in general, I don't look at what my white neighbor, how he's succeeding. I got to take care of myself. So I do what I got to do. I can't worry about anybody else. I don't worry about the other black person. I don't worry about the other Mexican person. I worry about me.
I want to hear what he has to say. Let him get through what he's going to say, and then we can go and jump in this.
You know, I grew up very poor, very, very poor, and I did what I had to do at 9 years old. and I'm going to tell you straight. I didn't succeed until I came out of the service. I finally got a job. Finally, somebody put me on the straight and narrow, and I worked two jobs all my life. I lost a job, and at the very end,
our lives mirror each other right now.
I'm in my 60s, so you know you got to reinvent yourself. It's not a
Hold on. I have to answer you on that one. It has nothing to do with reinventing yourself, my friend. It has to do with what you're going to deal with when you go look for a job, and versus what I'm going to deal with when I go look for a job. It's
okay.
Not going to be.
I have a college education.
Doesn't matter.
But once I got to my 60s, that college education didn't even matter. Now I have to do something totally different.
Doc, in America, you are free to do something totally different.
Exactly.
I am not.
It all depends if you have the skill.
No. Listen, what you have to understand is...
If you had a skill. Come
listen,
on.
Hold on. Listen to this. What you have to realize is that all things being equal, you're going to have an easier time just based on white privilege than I will. Based on the circles that you're in, that you can get into and get out again, get in and out of easily, based on the environment that you come in and come out of, and based on the color of your skin, which is true. We have to be honest about that. Because just because you may not see race, some people do not feel comfortable with a black man walking into a room to do the same job as you are, because they automatically think he's disqualified when he comes in the door,
exactly.
No matter what the paper says that he has. Now, I'm not
and
saying
white people
all.
Don't even want to live next to black people.
Now, wait a minute. We know that some don't want to live next to black people, but there's black people
negative,
that I don't want to live next to either.
Me too.
Yeah.
That's real.
But,
and so,
yeah, I think
so Carla, hold on, Michigan. So, Carla, do you understand where we're coming from with that?
No, because I've seen exactly the opposite. And it's, you know, you have to have a certain, there's the quota thing. You know,
there ain't no quota thing.
There has to be a certain amount of minorities hired at any place I was at.
Okay, now you're talking about labor, my friend, okay?
You're
talking about labor. That's all
labor
you're talking about. That's the only place you have any quotas.
Hold on. If that be the case, because you know when I walk into a lot of front offices, there ain't but one black person in there, and she's usually the secretary.
And I'll tell you this: if they're not doing 15% minorities, that quota means nothing. Okay, because guess what? 90% of the company is going to be Caucasian,
unless it's government.
And that's going to be different. No,
still, if you look at the Mahoning County Courthouse where we are, it's still less than 1%.
216, you were going to be next, but that's okay, I understand.
Hey, Tracy?
Yeah?
Here's the cut on that 90%.
Yeah?
If 90% of it's Caucasian, then the ratio, basically it's correct, because we only make up 11% of the population. So therefore, you are going to be
South
in a minority, and just
South
about
Carolina.
Every
Carolina.
Work
Carolina.
And that's how you guys are something serious. Please,
South Carolina,
you
said 1%.
By virtue of your population,
I said 1%. South Carolina, I said 1%, because there's only like 5.
can I say one more thing, and I'll hang
sure,
up?
Sure, sir. No, I want you to go. I want you to stay, because I think you need to really hear a couple things. But go ahead.
I'll hear it on the radio. But I want to say one more thing. Have you heard of white flight? What everybody's got to do, you can't think of it as white, black, or brown. If we all don't work together, this country's going to fail.
There's no doubt about
period.
It. But see,
period.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem.
Well, that's not true.
Most of the people that look like you, Michigan, hold on, please. Most of the people that look like you don't think that way.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
No,
that's
I wouldn't
what
be surprised.
I don't know about
well,
that. You know why? Because a lot of people voted for President Barack Obama because they wanted him to be a unifier. And when he came up and talked about unifying this country, both races as well as political, people drank that Kool-Aid like it was water.
I'll say it like this again.
I'm going to tell you what. The president, he's not worried about the black people. He's not worried about the white people. All his attention is on the brown people.
See, this is the modern white that I'm talking about.
He does not have your back. You think he does.
He doesn't.
He doesn't.
No, I know he doesn't. He has your back.
Right. There you
no,
go.
He has your back.
I agree. I agree with you.
Thank you for taking my call.
He has your back, caller.
No,
he has your back. Yes, he does.
How
he
has
his back? Yes, he does.
How?
Because he exhibits the total thing of what's been going on all the time anyway.
I think he's got the back of whoever put him in and his agenda.
Look, when he took over, black unemployment was 12%. Now what is it?
It's just almost
15. Almost 15%. Now, but black people supporting him.
But that's,
who is he supporting? It's not about brown people. It has nothing to do with brown people.
He's supporting the moderate whites.
He's supporting an ideology.
Right.
And you have to understand.
And an ideology that comes out of white supremacy.
Once again, no,
there's
it doesn't.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it doesn't.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it doesn't. See, that's where you're incorrect at. It may come out of a European mindset, but it's not necessarily out of white supremacy. Are the people wait. Are the people that run it, are they white supremacists? You better believe it. You better believe it because they're the eugenists. They're the reasons why Barack Obama gave the guns over to Africa to fight with, where the person was trying to convince me that was a good thing. Okay, that's stupidity. He wants them to kill themselves. Why? Because the progressives want there to be less people on the face of the earth.
But that's not white supremacy. That's auto cleansing.
That's auto cleansing, and they'll cleanse whatever the undesirable is, whether it's black, white, yellow, or poor white.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. 207, you're on air.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing today?
Hey, what's up, bud?
All right, none too much. So you guys have a hot conversation. The only thing I wanted to say in general, what the brother was saying there about some things, you know, pertaining to our black people. I totally agree with you. You know, I'm going to tell you this, Jeff and Tracy, you know, like when I was coming up and stuff, I had a great mother and father and stuff, like I've always told you in general and stuff. But one thing my mother and father told us, I mean, I've lived a lot of places at a young age before I came here and stuff, is the fact my father and mother told us one time, they said, you know, most white people aren't bad. I mean, most white people aren't, you know, majority of white people aren't bad. It's just most of them that are. And I believe that.
But let me ask you let me ask you this. This is my problem, and this is where I think we need to get past it. We want to sing the Martin Luther King hymn.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the bank the other day, and there was this young man. He was talking to his grandmother, and he was speaking Spanish, and they were from Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
Puerto Rico is a part of America. It's just not a state. It's an occupation. And the man,
territory, yeah.
And the man in front of me said some really non-nice things about the people that were speaking Spanish that were in front of us.
Okay.
And he was an African-American.
Okay.
Do we not understand that race does not bring up character of a person, and we are becoming that which we hate because we are judging them the same way in the 50s and before, and the 60s and before, and the 70s and before, as they judge us.
No, Tracy.
Let me finish, Michigan.
That's not a judgment.
Let me finish.
And a historical assessment is not a judgment.
Michigan, let me finish. Listen, I don't care about your historical judgment. I learned from history that I do not want to become that which I hate. So I need to take everyone by who they are individually and not collectively by a people. Because what's happening is we are dividing ourselves amongst each other based upon other people's actions that have nothing else to do with it. And that is incorrect. And it's incorrect to teach our young people that too. I should judge you best based on your measure, not based on your color or your money or your creed or your gender or your sexual orientation. Have we learned nothing from history?
Well, you know what, Jay?
Can I say something?
Hold on, Diva. You're going to be next.
Okay. I mean that because when we actually start judging people based on a cluster, it's like me judging all black people, saying all black men are thugs, even if the system said they are.
Can I just say something there for you?
Well, you know, Trey, it's been going on like that a long time, honey.
Hold on,
that don't make it right.
Mute me.
I agree with you, but
I'm muted. I'm running things.
Oh.
Go ahead, Reg. Reg is talking now. We got to let Reg talk.
I'm going to close. You know, the fact is, this has been going on a long time. Matter of fact, I was just looking at a great biography about the Civil War and stuff. And the people, you know, the people in general that I find that I have a lot of respect for, Jeff in general, was back during 1835, 37, during the Civil War time, was John Brown, the
abolitionist.
Now, to me, this is just me, Reg saying, to me, those were true Caucasian people. I mean, if you have
you
a chance.
You still got them now, though, Reg.
That's what I'm saying.
This is what makes me and Tracy get really hot about some things that are said here.
What I was just telling you all.
Reg, hold on. They're abolitionists.
Yeah.
Abolitionists formed the Republican Party.
But that's a small party.
No, it's not.
Red, we're in it. You can't tell us what we experienced.
There's an 80-20 rule. We know.
Wait a minute.
We know that 20% of the people.
I gotta get with you.
Damage the rules for 80% of the people. You can't tell me that all black men are thugs because that's what I see on TV. That's what I see going on.
I know that, darling. You ain't
so
telling
why
me
you tell
that
me all,
I don't
so
know what you're talking about.
So why
I mean,
do you
what
tell
are you
me all,
talking about?
Why do you tell me all 80% of white people are bad?
Because that's what my mother and father told me.
It ain't now, the truth.
Jeff, you can't say that.
Yes, I
can.
Hey,
Reg.
I'm
entitled to believe whatever I want. That's what I believe. That's
okay,
my
well,
first.
You believe
now,
that. All right.
Wait, Jeff. Regardless of what you say, makes no difference to me because that's what I choose to believe.
Okay. All right.
So, I mean, we're not going to squabble over that.
Believe what you want to believe.
We're not
going
to squabble over that.
So you're going to keep your kids. Hold on. So you're going to keep your kids when they go in school. Hold on.
I'm closing now, and I'm going to listen to you all.
You're going to tell me you're going to teach your children that most white people are bad. So the ones that got their behind kicked in on the bus tour going down south, they were all the Freedom Riders.
What?
You can remember there were white folks on the bus going south with the black folks trying to go to the south called the Freedom Riders. See, we got to go back and we got to understand. We got some white people who got hosed down walking in Selma, just like you got black folks hosed down walking in Selma. But you think?
Hello, I know that.
Hold on, but you think all of one party's okay? And you
I know that.
Hold on, you vote for the Democrat Party like they ain't white.
That's what I'm talking about. And if 80% of them is not black, like I told you,
you'll vote for them like they have business. So that's the 20% that loves you,
Reg.
Hey, don't get worked up, y'all. Calm down.
It is that serious, Reg, because we have people. Reg, we have friends that pour money into the inner city of Youngstown that are not white, that are not
it's
black.
Not that
excuse
serious,
me.
Y'all.
Okay, listen to me. They pour money into there. We know the people that do the things behind the scenes and things like that you want to call prejudiced Republicans. And the thing is, you only think that Republicans are prejudiced, and that is the problem with the black community's politics. No,
I don't think
is that about
you said
all
the majority
of
people.
Well, Reg, I got to get to some other
go to Diva, please.
Diva, go ahead, man.
All right, I'm out the way, y'all. Thanks again.
All right, bro.
I just wanted
I mean, you guys went far left on it, but I just wanted to address the caller who called in and was talking about how black people don't understand white people, how we have to understand each other.
Right.
Something that he said jumped out at me when he said, look at the quotas. Well, if the situation was all fair and equal, there wouldn't be a need for quotas people of color. And the fact that he points that out as equal and fair shows that he needs to gain a little more understanding. And as far as South Carolina, you talk about white poverty. When I look at white poverty, I see something completely different. I see a lot of people who had more opportunity than people of color, but they squandered it.
But let me ask you this, Diva. I got one question for you, Diva. Tell me why in the Youngstown city where there is a majority of African Americans, the population shows that the majority is African American. In Detroit, when they have 80% African American, you still can't get your politics right to where you can advance your own local community and you're still going to jail like it's a business.
I don't think it's necessarily problems. I think it's more of a mindset. And I think in order to understand that mindset, you have to put yourself in that person's place or in that person's shoes. I can understand why people vote the way they do and why they allow themselves to become victims to it. Because I've been there. It's a mindset where people think that they can't go up. And then it is perpetuated by the government where they make you think and believe that you can't go up, you can't get any higher, because of the practices and policies they put in place. And I think change is going to come when mindset changes and when we actually get people who actually understand the problem because they've been in it, they've dealt with it, and they will change it. Not people who you got on one side or the other saying this is how you fix it, but they have no clue.
I hear what you're saying, but the thing is you don't follow a logic. You know, the logic doesn't work. Because whenever we bring up facts, you guys explain it away with the craziest of explanations. It's just like, you know, you made a statement one time about Kasich caved into Obama. You remember that statement? And I answered that statement. And the thing is Kasich is smart. Kasich is not a dumb man. That's why he's governor. He was smart enough to put together a team to win the governorship, and he did it, and he's playing politics as best as possible. There's no reason for him to fight.
Knowing how to win doesn't mean that you completely understand a problem.
Yes, it does.
But what this says is we are emotionally charged. And when we look at race, we are becoming worse than racist, because we're racist from a position of no power.
Absolutely.
And we are lumping everybody in. Wait a minute, hold on. We are lumping everybody into the same lump and then going out and asking. We preach and hate whitey and then going asking whitey for something to eat.
That's what I'm talking about.
And
Let me explain radio
to you.
But Tracy, you can't run all over the place with your comments
now,
about bagging them up. Now, who said something about hate white people?
Now listen, because when we teach white supremacy to our young people. Because see, when we say white supremacists and when we teach this, we teach that white people to not trust them. Do not love them because they do not love you. That's what we teach. Because they are, and when white people hear white supremacists, they go back to Malcolm X and they believe that we're calling them blue-eyed devils. Like
what school is that being taught in, Tracy? Do you have the addresses over there?
We get that stuff over the air all the time. And you know the Covina man is one of the guys that does it. And you know.
Anybody just answer my question, does white flight still happen today?
Of course it does.
So that means white folks don't want to be around black people.
Not true. No, could be the man. You know what they told? No. Let me explain white flight today. White flight means I don't want to be around nobody that makes anything less than me that won't take care of their yard, their children, and their environment.
Thank you. That's
what white flight means. If you park your car in the front of the yard, don't cut your grass, don't shovel your snow, and don't take care of your house, I will pack up and move. That's what white flight means.
That's what it
Tracy,
means.
Tracy, you have a severe case. Personality.
Can I say this?
It's severe.
Don't be blinded by white.
It's very severe.
Hold on, South. I'm gonna get you next. Hold on. Go. I want to give either the Michigan or Chicago chance to respond just now. Whoever started talking.
Well, that was me. I was saying that Tracy has a severe case of psychopathic racial personality. But that's real talk.
I hear you, but that's extreme. Listen to me. Tracy lives in the city. Okay.
He called me a psychopathic.
Psychopathic racial personality. Yeah.
Listen to me.
I gotta find out what that means, Jeff. What is a psychopathic racial personality?
I'm gonna tell you.
Okay.
Go and get Dr. Bobby E. Wright's book. Bobby E. Wright.
Okay.
Go get his book.
It's only 30 pages. Once you read it, you will not be able to put it down until it's done. It's only 30 pages long.
Okay. Thank you, Alex. Go ahead, Sal.
Bring the house negro up. South Carolina.
Chicago, please. Hold back, bro.
I'm just ignoring it.
You a house negro. Don't worry, Sal. If I'm a psychopath, you a house negro. We straight. Go ahead.
Yeah. The issue that I'm trying to get people to understand.
He's about to talk about white suffering.
No. What I'm going to tell you is this, okay? The situation that we are in, because the only thing we can look at at this point is the economics, okay? Because that is the thing that we are fussing about. That's the thing that we're mad about, and that's the thing that really drives us. We want to be economically sound and have the same thing that the white folks got, okay? Here's the problem. Here's the problem with that, okay? You've got white folks that are trying to get
because they want to make sure they be able to have fun and be in business so they can hire more blacks. So when white folks do that, it's no saying that folks want to be like other white folks. So where are you going with this, Carolina?
Because man,
where
are
you
when you're talking about South Carolina, I tell you what, if you was about 2 feet from me, I'd show you a house negro. We leave it at that. But anyway,
I'm muted.
What you got is, if you're talking economics, you can talk race all day, but the bottom line is economics in today's society. Okay, by hook or crook, people want to be economically stable. Okay, you've got white folks just trying to get there. You've got black folks just trying to get there. And the bottom line is this: you've got a set of people who could give a damn if you get there, and will do everything that they can to keep you from getting there, so they can control you. They're going to pit this side against that side. They're going to get the poor white trash and the poor Negro over here fighting with each other while they just continue to get rich, okay?
And that's what they've done over the years.
And that's what they've done. And that's what they've done, and that's what they're going to continue to do.
Appalachia has absolutely nothing to do with color. There ain't no blacks in Appalachia.
No blacks in Appalachia.
Them folks in Appalachia, you can go up to the mountain right there between Tennessee and North Carolina, and West Virginia is not too far away from there, and Kentucky. Them folks don't care, okay? They are living their lives, man.
Go ahead,
Michigan.
When you have a culture, and a culture is looking to solve a problem, like America, in order to take the pulse. It doesn't take the pulse of one group of whites over the other group of whites. In other words, if the American government is looking at the unemployment rate, right? It looks at the unemployment rate, not the unemployment rate of this group of whites or that group of whites. So when you're talking about a culture, that's where that this invisible line that you guys keep trying to say make there. Meaning two different groups of whites.
But Michigan.
That's where you get lost at.
Michigan, when do we take the oil?
You think there's this line between whites here?
Hey, listen,
and it's not there.
The,
they
listen.
act based off of a cultural threat, whether it be economic, educational, socially, political, or militarily.
Do you realize there is a black flight?
That's
where I was trying to go, Trace.
I mean, do y'all understand that? I mean, there's a black flight. We talk about white flight, and see, white flight was when white folks was trying to get away from black folks. Do you realize that there's a black flight because black folks trying to get away from black folks because they don't want to be there, because they don't want to live next to me because I don't fix up my house either, and they don't want my kids to play with. As a matter of fact, there's black flight in my own family. We don't even want my kids to play with their cousins. I mean, do we understand that?
You know, they
hold
did
on,
a study on that, Tracy. They
hold
did a study on that,
on.
What you call it, black flight.
And do you realize that when we talk about economic development, when we talk about the empowerment and the unemployment rate of African Americans versus the mainstream America or white America, what the problem is, and we can't blame it on white supremacy anymore because we are the ones that, who are cultivating this climate of mediocrity so that our children do not aspire to become anything besides Beyonce and an NFL player.
There you go.
Well, I mean, but that's true. Now, here's the thing. So this is the thing that we have to take into consideration. I agree with you on a lot of the principle of what you're saying, but when you break it down, you just completely roll off the rails to me, and this is why. It is specifically tied to a group of people that are keeping you in one place, and they're keeping the mindset of you in one place. The people throw
you
in.
That's where you go off the cliff.
Well, here's the thing. It's not a group of people. Here's the thing. You have a, look,
it's a culture.
Listen to
it's
me.
Not
I don't
a group
care
of people. It's an entire culture.
I don't care about a culture. I don't care about the culture.
Well, you better start caring.
No, I don't care about the culture, and this is why I don't care about the culture. Because so many times we worked outside that culture and became independent. Now, that culture, the lowest, listen to me, the lowest dregs of that culture came and attacked people and destroyed their ability to be outside of it. But now we've gone with the Stockholm Syndrome thing where we're sitting in ghettos allowing the same party to rule us in the ghetto, and we don't get out of it.
There are places across this country where African Americans concentrate. That they are baffled that you can vote for a person at 100% in a whole precinct. They think that it's voter fraud, and they think that I'm crazy when I tell them, no, that ain't voter fraud. That's called mental inability to think on their own. They voted 100% for one party.
You know what it is, Jeff.
Do you understand that?
Jeff, here's what it is. With you thinking that you're a runaway slave, You ran out of one house and ran to
barely
his brother's house.
I ain't run to my brother's house.
You ran out of one slave master's house and ran to his
true.
Brother's house and
listen,
think you free.
Well, here's the thing.
At least in the other master's house, they let me use the bathroom. See, in your house, they don't even give you a bathroom to go to, and that's the issue. If you want to talk about it that way,
here's the issue, and this
now
is
see how pathetic that is.
Okay, no, I'm going to tell you like this then,
yeah,
Sal.
Pathetic,
I mean, Michigan man.
His bathroom.
Michigan, I'm going to say it like this.
And I got my own to go to when I get home.
If I stay on the Democrat side of things, and I'm talking about the National Democrats when I do this, if I stay on that side of things, I never can have a house. I never can have a bathroom. But if I go to the free side, even though a lot of those people might not care about me because they might not care for me, I at least have the ability to build my own house and go get my own bathroom, and you don't have that inside of the other because
good
the
luck.
Other side wants to dole out the little bit of monies that they dole out to you to keep you in the same position, to keep themselves in political power in these United States. That's the foolish side of our community. That's the foolish side, and we got to go because the lady done spoke. She ain't fat, but she's singing, and it's time for us to go. Afternoon with Tracy and friends. It is Jeff in the air chair and Tracy in the air chair. We enjoyed it. Very good conversation today, I think, and I hope that we take this for serious and start looking for solutions. Thank you all for hanging out with us today. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same bat station, and Tracy will be driving it then and getting you together on the midweek day. God bless y'all. We'll see you later.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the park, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce.
You're listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
Charlie Staples
Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends.
WSOM, Salem.